Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
9 months after Hurricane Maria devastated the island of Puerto Rico, there are an estimated 300 families still living in hotels in Massachusetts, with a federal emergency management agency and the state footing the bill. But that changes at the end of this month when this assistance expires. Many in the hotels don't know where they'll be living next month. And as WBUR's Shannon Dooling reports, some of their concerns run deeper than simply finding shelter.
A half dozen women are sitting around a folding table in a Dracut church. They're gathered for a potluck meal of arroz con pollo, salad, and chocolate chip cookies, and they're picking up bags for their families, full of donations from surrounding communities. All of these women have relocated from Puerto Rico and are living in area hotels for now. But like 42-year-old Dagmar Rivera says, the future beyond June 30th is unclear.
No sé qué decirle.
I don't know what to tell you. We're just hoping for a miracle, that some door will open for us, because we're not really here for pleasure. We're here because we need to be. Most of us are sick or have children that are sick, and we're not asking you to keep us or anything. Just give us the opportunity to have a roof over us and to be able to move forward. That's it.
Rivera limps into the church hall, leaning on a cane. She tells me she needs to be hooked up to a machine to treat some of her illnesses.
Tengo lupus y COPD, asma, arthritis.
I have lupus, COPD, asthma, arthritis, and several heart conditions. So I'm waiting, and we're all nervous because we're out on the 30th. It's not easy.
Many of the evacuees who are still living in hotels are here because they have serious illnesses that can't be treated in Puerto Rico. Take Angie Lago, who's also at this church potluck. She's sort of slumping in her seat. She's just come from a dialysis treatment. Her three children all have chronic health issues as well. Some of the women are staying in the same hotel outside of Lowell. None of them know where they'll be living on July 1st.
It's been challenging, confusing at times. A lot of information changing all the time.
Olga Herrero is a social worker with the Lowell Public Schools. She's been working with Puerto Rican students and their families, helping them adjust to their new schools and access services like housing and medical care. She says the schools in Lowell were bracing for an influx of Maria evacuees. But figuring out how to navigate the federal and state systems that are distributing resources after Maria, how to help her clients access housing and health care, has been complicated, even for her as a trained social worker.
Once you think that you know, okay, these are going to be the channels of what we have to do, how to navigate the system, then in the following week it changes. I feel like you're always putting out fires, so you can't really prepare.
Massachusetts has the third largest population in the country of Maria evacuees registered with FEMA. Lisbeth Sandoval, her daughter Shayla Beth, and her son, Stephen, have lived in four different hotels since coming to Lowell in January. They've been sharing one queen-sized bed for almost 3 months. Suitcases and bags stuffed with their belongings line the walls of the room, and red plastic plates are sitting in the kitchenette sink. It feels as though every item has its place in the room, but if you were to move something, it could all come tumbling down. 12-year-old Stephen says living like this is hard. When I see that I have to move from this hotel to this hotel, and the next day I have to get up early for school, and then when I get home from school, I go to another hotel, which is what happened to me. I was in the Resident Inn, and then I got home from school. We had 5 minutes to leave and move to the Holiday Inn. And then from the Holiday Inn, we came here. Stephen was recently diagnosed with epilepsy. His mom, Lizbeth, says she couldn't find a neurologist on the island, and their home was destroyed by the storm. She came to Lowell, where she hoped her family would be able to start over. After staying with her cousin in public housing for a few days, Lisbeth and her family were asked to leave.
Vénganse para Estados Unidos, los vamos a ayudar, y cuando llegamos aquí, ahí quedó todo, y no te ayudaron.
Come to the United States, they said. We're going to help you. And then when we got here, everything stopped, and they didn't help you.
If each person doesn't mobilize and look for their own help, they're not going to give you the help, she says. Sitting on the bed, Lisbeth opens a 3-ring binder full of paperwork, mostly housing applications. She says she's submitted 37 different applications since January. In most cases, she was told there's a years-long waiting list or that her family wasn't considered homeless because they had a hotel room. She's appealed some of the decisions. The state has contributed over $1 million in transitional housing assistance to families like Lisbeth's. This has supplemented the nearly $450,000 in hotel rental assistance kicked in by FEMA for Massachusetts evacuees. Still, in 2 weeks, most of that money disappears. In the hotel room, Stephen gathers his things for baseball practice. Before he leaves, his mom shares a surprise, waving a set of keys in the air. "We have an apartment?" he asks his mom. "Yes," she says with a smile. They pass the keys back and forth for a moment, and Stephen holds them up in the air before clutching them in his fist. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Shannon Dooling.